take your Bibles, please, turn with us to the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. That song that Donna just sung teaches a tremendous truth. We're going to speak a little bit on that tonight. But a tremendous truth. This is not our home here. And we've gotten something far better waiting. And too many times we spend so much time down here looking at things down here. And forgetting that we've got a wonderful place in heaven. And all of this won't matter when we get there. Genesis 4th chapter, verse number 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for your blessings and your love for us and kindness to us. Lord, there's been many prayer requests, certainly up on the list that's given out, and Lord, other ones mentioned. God, please do what is necessary in each of our lives to help us to become more like you. Lord, help those folk down south. Father, what a seemingly tragedy to us. God, they need your help. They need to be brought to you. They need, Father, the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, as we do all do, Lord, of our great need for the Lord, great need of Christ. Once again tonight, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom as I preach. Help us, Father, to do the will of God in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight which I've entitled, Why the Storm? I'm going to talk a little bit on down at the end of the message about the storm that just took place in New Orleans. We had a great tragedy back in 9/11/01. Great tragedy. Multitudes were killed, 3,000, somewhere like that. And it looks like this tragedy is going to be much above that. Now, I know we're just hearing numbers, but they're talking about the possibility of 10,000 people. I don't know if that's true. I don't have no way of knowing that. But that's what they're talking. And it said it even could be more than that. And you want to stop and you want to ask yourself, why? I'm not questioning God. I'm saying, why is this happening? And I think it's something we need to ask. Why is this happening? What is God saying to us? What is he trying to do and to awaken us? I really believe that's what he's doing. I stood in this pulpit back in 2001 and I said, this is not the end of it. I didn't say that as a prophet. I'm no prophet. But I know the Bible. This was not the end of it. We're living in a nation that has turned her back on God. So we know it's not going to be the end of it. We knew that. That's not being a great prophet. That is just being a Bible a student who knows the Bible and knows how God works. And the things that's happening in America, the thing that happened here this past week or so in America, is again something that God is teaching us and awakening us. And I believe certainly part of the judgment he's bringing on America. Amen. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Amen. What I want to talk to you tonight, I called it Why the Storm. But I want to talk to you about a word called commerce. Commerce simply means to traffic, to carry on a trade. It means to something that's done for sale or profit. Now, I guess we need to understand something. When Cain went out from the presence of God, he built a city. Right after that is named three different areas of commerce. The lineage of Cain began three different lineages, or excuse me, areas of commerce. If you will notice in verse 20, he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Here it's speaking of what we would call pastoral care over flocks, over animals. Tommy, you would fit into this category here because you're a carer of turkeys, of flocks. And let me say to you, under these three categories, anything today can be placed. So there was those who become carers of, lived in tents and had cattle and cared for cattle and flocks and whatever it might be. We notice also in verse number 21, he was the father, he says, another one of the lineage there, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. We could place all of the music industry or the arts under that today. And they, it began here with Cain's lineage. We also find in verse number 22 an instructor, one also of his lineage, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Here we have those who manufacture things. You miners that worked in mines, you people who worked in factories would be underneath this. You would be placed into this category. And what I'm simply saying is it all began here when Cain went out from the presence of God Almighty. So I'm saying to you that world commerce was not God's plan. We'll talk about that in a moment. That was not his original plan. When sin came in, Satan took over. If you understand that this is Satan's domain, prince and power of the air. And this system that has been set up, this system of commerce and all these other things, has been set up under his guidelines, not God's guidelines. And so we see all of these things taking place, and we see how God is going to judge that has taken man away from God and the direction that God intended for him to go. You must understand, we work in a world today that's under the system of Satan.
That's right.
Now, it doesn't mean that you are working for Satan. It's not your desire to do that, but it is his program. And money has become the god of this world.
Right.
Materialism is the god of this world.
Right.
We call it here commerce, the trading, the trafficking in things. We know it's a necessity. We understand it's a necessity to make a living. We have no problem with that. We know that. We work to make a living to support our family. But it should not and never should be the priority of our life. Never should. God's will for our life, God's the service of God should be the priority of our life. So over in, if you remember back, and I want to take you over to Deuteronomy a few moments. When God placed Israel in a place, he did not place them in a place where there was great natural harbors. He placed them in a place where the east and the south were nothing but deserts. The north was mountains. And what I'm saying to you was he intended for them to live in Israel and sit under their own fig tree and produce the things that they needed without the help of those countries around them. They was to love God and live in Israel and produce the things that they needed for life. That's why God placed them in that place. In Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, he gives some instruction to the king of Israel. Before I go any further, let me share with you, I understand that this is not Israel here in America. I understand that. I know that. But the principles that God laid down for Israel are principles that we ought to basically live by and should have lived by. But Satan took over and sin was came in, and Adam and Eve surrendered to them. And of course, since then, sin has come upon all men, and we all are sinners, no doubt about that. And we all fall into this category of being a part of this system, even though we may not agree with it. We're a part of this system that Satan basically has set up. We've got to understand that. In verse number 14, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou be set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to end that he should multiply horses, forasmuch as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. You notice he gave instructions to the king not to multiply horses. He said, you're not going back to Egypt. You're not supposed to go back there. We all know, scripturally, you understand that Egypt is a symbol of the world. God is telling his people, Israel, don't go back to the world. Don't go back to Egypt. He's saying that same thing to us today. Do not let it be the priority of our life. Don't multiply. Here was the king of Israel, and he says, don't multiply horses. Listen to what he says in verse 17, which shall neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. You see, here's the king of Israel, and he's saying, don't multiply silver and gold. That's not the priority. That's not why you're my people. That should not be the goal of life. And I believe that same principle God is teaching us today. Don't let the silver and the gold be the priority of life. Don't it be that, don't let it be that which guides and directs your life. Listen to what he says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law, of this law, and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Once again, he says, take a copy of the law. That's what he told the king to do, and set it by his side. And he's told him to read it. Let it become the guide as he directed Israel. Let it be the guide, the word of God. God is saying the very same thing for us today. Don't multiply gold and silver. Don't let that be the priority of our lives. No, let the word of God and God's guidance and direction for our life, let that be where we go and what we do and what we say and what we become. Let it be the guide, not commerce. Amen. Not the trafficking in goods. Not the constant, the multiplying of the gold and the silver. Now we're going to look over also for a moment in the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Verse number 1 we'll start. Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord, Ezekiel 28, verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, there again, that trafficking in goods, hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. What God is saying, he knew that the heart of the king of Israel, his heart would be lifted up if he continued to multiply in riches. He says here to the king of Tyrus, and it's kind of a double prong thing. I think in this scripture, he also speaks of Satan in this scripture. But there was a king of Tyrus whom he was speaking to. And he said his heart was lifted up. Why? Because of riches. Folks, you and I better get a hold of something. Riches can absolutely turn us away from God. You've got to understand that, because this type of thing gives us the ability to live outside of dependence upon God. Oh, you say, I would never do that. Oh, yes, you would. You're like any other person. When you get rich and you have all that you need and all that you want, you'd have to be very, very careful, or you want to live independent of the will of God. I've preached this for years about credit cards. Credit cards are devastating to most families, because what they do is give you the ability to buy something that God never intended for you to buy. I've preached that for years. Now, whether you've listened to it or whether you want to do that or not, but credit card allows you to walk into a store and buy anything you want to buy, whether you have the money to buy it or not. And certainly you must not have the money to buy it, or you wouldn't be putting it on a credit card. You see, when you walk into a store and you don't have a credit card, you pull out your billfold, you look and see what you've got. And if you need an item, you look and see if you got money to purchase it. If you don't, you don't buy it. You understand what I'm saying? And what happens when the riches come in? What I'm saying to you, and I want you to listen to me, when riches come in and men become rich, it enables them to live outside dependence upon God Almighty, because they have what they want and anything they need. Most people would like to be rich, but it's probably would be one of the most devastating things that could happen to us. First of all, it should not be the priority of our life. That should not be what we're looking to have. That makes you independent from the will of God in your life. Be grateful and be content with just the needs of our life and what God does supply for us and what God does give us. Amen. You see, what happens is these cities and nations become swollen with riches. And because of that, covetousness increases, and covetousness is as idolatry. That's what the Bible says. It's idolatry. Okay? To want is devastating to us, and it turns our back on God Almighty and his will for our life. You see, I believe something. I take this in a right, proper way. I believe God wants us all to live on under our own fig tree and be content with such things as we have. Oh, I know you can run a business and you can work a job and you can do all of those things, but there's just something about the fact that God intends for us to sit under our own fig tree and live a life of quietness and joy in the Lord. But we've went away from that because all of our life seems to be seeking and wanting to earn more money, to get more things. You see, earning money, in fact, is one of the greatest excuses for not serving God. I don't know how many's here that remembers, but I certainly do, and I know some of the older folks remember the day when there wasn't anything opened on Sunday. There just wasn't anything open on Sunday. Things just closed down. Now, I didn't say everybody went to church, but the opportunity for them to go to church was there. And most of those at least had a reverence for enough for God that they didn't go out and do much on Sunday. Today's Sunday has just become another day. A day when God has told us to gather together and to give unto Him, to set aside as a special day of gathering and fellowship and hearing the Word of God. What I'm saying to you, you hear it, I hear it, I hear people say, well, I'm going to tell you, when I'm at the end of the week, I'm just so tired, I don't feel like going to church, I just want to rest. Folks, that's sad. And years ago, that was not that away. Young folk that can't remember that, it was not that away. Now, there's always been rascals. There's always been the wrong kind. There's always been those. But years ago, let me say to you, it used to be you just didn't do anything on Sunday, not because you didn't think, yeah, it was just a day of rest. It was a day you honored God. Years and years ago, when they didn't have a lot of transportation, motorized transportation, they would go to church because they'd have to travel for quite a few miles, some of them, in horse and buggy or on horses, and get to church, and they'd have services, and that afternoon they'd have a picnic. They'd eat together and have a late service sometime in the late afternoon and have the service and then go home. They spent time together in fellowship with God's people. You say, well, Brother Ross, that's been years. Yes, I know it's been years ago, but the principle was good. Amen. You see, we're so caught up. We're so caught up in the making of money and getting more and more and more that we've forgot the principles of the Word of God. That there needs to be a day of rest. There needs to be a day of fellowship with God's people in hearing the Word of God. And I believe commerce is one of the greatest tools used, as we will see in the book of Revelation, used in the kingdom of the beast. He says you can't buy, you can't sell unless you have this mark. You see, it all boils down to the getting of things. And commerce is a big part of that, you see, because we've sold out to it. It's become our life. It's not that we don't have to do some of it. It's that it's become priority. It's become our life. Years ago, people used to live quiet lives. I still remember being at home and of an evening. We went to bed early. We didn't have electricity. Yes, I live back in the last century. But we did not have electricity. When it became dark, Mom and Dad got ready for bed. And they had these kerosene lamps. And you got up early. And what did you do? Well, you fellowshipped. Sometimes neighbor might drop in and you'd talk with each other and have a good time together. You didn't have TVs. You didn't have all of those things. So you just fellowshipped one with another. They lived quiet lives. And because of that, they built strong homes. We don't have quiet living today. We don't have a lot of strong homes today. And I know there is strong homes, but a lot of the homes are not strong today. Why? Because there's no time taken to build those strong homes. And now, instead of building strong homes, they build big houses, where everybody can have their own room and be separated from one another, and that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. There needs to be some fellowship within the family and the building of the family. Years ago, there used to be more family reunions. Just let me ask you, how many goes to a family reunion every year? More than I really thought probably would. We do too. A lot of people don't anymore. There's not family reunions anymore. There may be company reunions and places they work reunions and things like that, but it's not family reunions. There needs to be strong families built, you see. And there's a love for their church. As I told you earlier, they used to come, they stayed. Now listen, the church has always had its problems. The church has always had people who wasn't what they ought to be, but they loved their church. They had a love for the church. that a lot of times today you don't see today. A real love for the church, the house of God, you see. And they had a love for their country much more than they do today. There was a thankfulness to God for what God had done for them. I'm simply saying we've lost a lot. Well, why? Why have we lost it? We're so dedicated now to the making of money, the gaining of material things has become the goal of our life. A higher standing of living has become the goal. Folks, listen to me. The higher standard of living is not what's important. It's the higher standing of living for God that's important. It's what's going to make a difference in your life and in eternity. Amen? You see, getting up in the world today has become the goal of people. That's the goal. It's become more the goal than getting right with God and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can find time to do all of these other things to push ourselves forward and get on a higher level in the world, and yet we don't have time to do the work that God has given us to do here. The spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the work God has given us to do. See, we've believed the lies of Satan as men seek after riches. And they go on and they live their life, and it isn't too long. Their bodies die and their souls go to hell. And it's all over. Folks, that's not the priority. That's not what it's all about, you see. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what's gain. Godliness with contentment, to be content with what God has given. It doesn't mean that God won't give you more. God will and bless, and I understand all of those things. But be content as God leads and God directs. Be content with what He's given us. Amen. Instead of always searching for something else and desiring more here and more there. Civilization, what happens is they go mad to get riches. Anything to get rich is what they do. You go out there and you talk to people today and ask them, what's the goal of your life? What is it you desire? What is it you want? And it's always, I want to make more money, or I want to have more things, and I want to get a better job. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's never, I want to just be what God wants me to be. And to be content and grateful for what God has given us. I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy, please. The 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. You see, this preacher believes something. We've bought into this thing that the world has given us. Now, we've bought into it. You see, God intended for His people, Israel, to live in quietness and peace and joy in the Lord. But they also sold out to the other nations. They went out and sought the help of Egypt and all of those nations around them instead of seeking the help of God. We're doing the very same thing in America. Sixth chapter. Yes, sixth chapter. Of Deuteronomy, verse number four. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Notice, he dealt with them about their spiritual life. He said, you must take the word of God. You must teach it to your children. That is the priority of life. Teach them how to live for God. Teach them to love God. And then he says, when you come into this new land, you're going to come to a place, as he said there, to cities, goodly cities, you didn't even build. He says also, if you'll notice there, he says in verse 11, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, God was teaching a principle there that he knew would take place. And what happens is, we forget God. And America has forgotten God. She has so many things that she has forgotten God. They come so easy anymore that they forgot the one who has given it to them. You're not doing your child and being a blessing to that child of yours if you pour upon him all of these earthly goods and he doesn't learn how to work and diligently work and be thankful for what he has. Look at chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Verse number 5, thou shalt not consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. You notice what he deals with first. You walk according to the word of God. You fear God. And then he says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valley and hills, land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now he says, beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God in not keeping the commandments and his judgment and his statutes which I command thee this day. At least when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Does that sound like America? Have we not built goodly houses and we dwell in them? And he says, and when thou herdest and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't we understand that that principle is still with us today? We're a satisfied people. We have houses. He's not really saying that it's wrong not to have houses. We have goods. We have all of the goods. In fact, we have more goods than most of us ever need. That's why you see these storage units all around the country. Now, you really can, and we can laugh about that, but I want to tell you, it's a sign of the time. Why do you need a storage unit? Why have you got so much stuff? I could see a storage unit and for a certain amount of time when you're moving, you're doing something, and I could see where you would... You want a permanent storage unit? Why? To store your stuff? Am I right? Why do we have so much stuff? Why do we need all of those things? I'm saying to you, folks, we have all of those things, and it has turned our heart away from dependence upon God. Right. Yeah, yes, it has. You see. And God said our hearts become lifted up. Why? Because we have riches. We have so many things. And you say, I'm not rich. Well, I dare to differ with you, but probably that's not true. You and I both are rich. Amen. We have more things than we ever need. Right. And because of that, we have a little dependence upon the great and wonderful God who provides us daily bread. Amen. Daily bread. Amen. So he's simply telling us that this commerce and all of this that goes on in the world is Satan's plan. to get you interested in having more and more and more and more and more. Not God's plan of having the needs of your life. I'm not down on garage sales, but why? How come we have so many garage sales? Why do we have that much stuff to sell? Now somebody's going to get mad at me. It's okay, because I'm not your pastor anymore. You do. But I think when you have that, you ought to look around and see things that you do want to get rid of, and have some sense about it, and then not go out and buy everything all year so you can have another garage sale. It's rotten tomato time for the preacher. Now, I'm really just trying to say to all of us, you know what? We need to get off of this. Because what it does, the things that we have so much of, is taking our heart away from God. It really is. And God knew this. Now, I want to share some things with you. You and I both know that there was a terrible storm in New Orleans, down in Mississippi, and down in Alabama. This storm could have been stopped by our Lord. He could have stood and he could have put his hand up and that storm would have disappeared in a moment's time. The waves would have quieted, but he didn't. He could have redirected that storm. He could have taken it to another place where the devastation would have been as great. He could have quieted it enough to where it wouldn't have done the damage that it did. But our Lord did not do that. It hit the largest port in the United States of America. The fourth largest port in the world. I want you to understand something. God knew exactly where that storm was going. He knew the damage it was going to do. And God allowed or sent the devastation of that storm to absolutely to shake America materialistically and economically. They're saying now maybe $150 billion. To recover. $150 billion. They was saying after the beginning of it around $20 or $25 billion. Now they're saying $150. We've already, the president's already allocated $50 billion plus dollars toward the recovery of New Orleans and that area down in that area. Now what I'm saying, the cost of human life is devastating. It's great. What I'm saying to you is, what God is doing is allowing that which has become our God to be hit. Materialism, and let me say to you, it's not the people just down in the South that's going to be hit. It's all of us. The devastation is going to be felt in Jacksonville, Indiana, and already is with gas prices. What I'm saying, don't you understand that all of this commerce, all of that that has become so important to us, is what God allowed that storm to wipe out? I don't know if New Orleans will be rebuilt or not, but do you understand that New Orleans' economy was absolutely built around casinos. Most of their economy, they say, close to 70% of their economy was given to them through the casinos and the ill-repute houses and liquor joints. That's where most of their economy come. Now, do we want to put $150 billion rebuilding that? Because that's exactly what's going to happen. They'll go back down there and they'll build those. What is God trying to say to us? God is trying to get our hearts off of all of this commerce and the wanting of more and more and more and more and the making of more money. He's trying to get our hearts turned back to Him. I want to show you something over in the book of Revelation, in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. I want to read verse number 9. Now, of course, this is during the tribulation period, but I want you to listen what they're doing. In verse number 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her. This is the destruction of Babylon. The city of Babylon was destroyed just like it would have been a millstone that was cast into the sea. And it just simply sunk and was gone. And he says, they bewailed her, the kings of the earth bewailed her and shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Are you hearing what they're crying about? The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of the torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. You understand what they're looking at? The riches? And every shipmaster and all the company and the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afore off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Listen. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. You know what they're crying out? They're not crying out for repentance. They're not sorry they sinned. They're not sorry that there had to be judgment brought on this Babylon that produced all of these riches. They're crying because they have the riches no more. Listen up just a moment. What do you hear since the storm in New Orleans? Do you hear repentance? What do you hear? Oh, the higher gas prices. The consumer goods are going to go up. What are we going to do? Let me say something to you, folks. It's not about that. It's about God. It's trying to awaken a people to call out to Him for help. You don't find repentance today. I don't know what's going on and down in New Orleans. I'm sure there's God is winning some victories down there. I'm sure there's been people saved through all of this. I'm confident of that. But I want to tell you, you don't hear that as a whole. What you hear is economy. Where's this great city? Why is all of this happening? Why don't we get help? You see what they're doing? They're turning to government instead of God. Where's government? When they better be saying, what's God doing? What is God doing? And all, and not just they saying, all of us saying, what is God doing? Why are we crying out? Turn to government for help, because that's been the way they've lived. Instead of turning to God. I still believe when there's a need in a person's life, the old-fashioned principle of prayer and asking God for it. Hasn't God provided your needs over and over and over again when you ask him and you bowed your knee and ask him, not government?
Amen.
Stock market falls, riches are gone. Droughts come, riches are gone. Who do they turn to? Do they turn to God or government? I'm saying to you, I think God is awakening in us and seeing, letting us see and bear our hearts out there what we're doing. That was no mistake that happened. God did not turn his head and something happened he did not want to happen. It's judgment from God, and he's trying to wake America up. And I can say from this pulpit tonight, what's next? There's two more storms headed that way, but that doesn't mean that they're going to hit. That doesn't mean it's going to, but what's going to happen down the road? Why is wicked people destroying our soldiers in Iraq? Those are insurgents, folks, what they call insurgents. They're wicked, wicked people, just as the Chaldeans was back in the days of Israel. And they was wicked people, and God allowed them to raise up to judge his people. Now we've got young men and young women over there that's being killed by insurgents. They don't care about life. And they're killing our boys and girls over there. What is happening? What's going on? We better awaken. In years past, there was wars that was won because of brave men. And I'm not certainly saying our men today are not brave, but I believe that God has lifted the hand of protection. I'm saying to you, we better wake up. And we better get off of all of this wanting more and more and more things. We better take a look at what we've got and have a thankful heart and a grateful heart. And I believe, as I've told my children, get your houses in order. And you get your houses in order. I can't make you get your houses in order. I can't make my children get their houses in order. But they need to get their houses in order. Judgment is here. Now, when will it be the next one? What will God allow next? I have no idea what God's going to do. But I do believe this, if this country, if this people don't turn back to God, there's going to be more. And we as individuals are going to have to get our houses in order and turn back to God and get on our good standing with the Lord and quit this foolishness. Things just mean too much to Christians. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your kindness and goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for who you are. Help us to love you. Help us to do right. In Jesus' name, amen.